Lord God, we thank you for the beauty of this day and of these past few weeks. It is a joy, Lord, to wake on mornings like this to feel the heat already rising. And today, Lord God, we could have been anywhere, but instead we are here to consider our work as elders in the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I thank you for calling us by your word and by your spirit to saving faith in Jesus. And I thank you that the same Spirit who called us to Christ is the one who called us to elders and to sit on sessions all around this district. Father, today may we be encouraged by what we hear. May it be a word in season for us. May you sharpen us up. And Lord, when we return to our fellowships, when the morning comes, may we go and worship with a new sense of joy and zeal for the things of God. Father, I thank you for these men and women. I thank you for the churches that they represent. And I thank you for our presbytery. Lord, these are tough days for us here and all across this land. But the gospel hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. And Father, the calling that you have placed before us hasn't changed. So Lord God, help us to stand firm in these troubled days. Encourage and equip us this morning, we pray. And we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Friends, this morning, let me read to you briefly just from the book of Acts, just one verse, the famous farewell address as Paul is leaving the Ephesian elders. Here is what he tells them in Acts 20 and verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Friends, as we begin this morning, I want us to consider our extraordinary calling as elders. And I've called it that deliberately because it seems to me that no matter else what we do in our lives, no matter else what we are or who we are or what we do as a living, whether we have a big family, a caravan up on the North Coast, whether we are at the top of the tree in our business, regardless of what we are and who we are, it seems to me that the call that God has placed upon our lives as elders is the most significant call that we could ever possibly imagine. It is an extraordinary call. And it is a call that is summed up by the Apostle Paul there in Acts 20 and verse 28. If we had all day to consider that one wee verse, then we would very quickly realize that the work that we have been called to do is there in bold technicolor in all its majesty. And brothers and sisters, this morning I want you to consider that and to write this on your hearts and to embrace it as you go back to your work as elders. It was Woodrow Wilson, not a president that I would want you to look into too much. He wasn't a great man in a lot of ways, but he was an elder in the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America. His father was a Presbyterian minister, and his father once stated that he would rather his son be an elder in the church than the president of the United States. I often have thought about that comment from a father about his son, his famous son, his powerful son, and I've no reason to doubt that he absolutely meant it. And yet sometimes I think in my own life and maybe in yours, we lose sight of the glory and the extraordinary nature of our calling. Paul says that we have been called to the eldership, to consider the flock of God, to oversee it, to care for the church that was obtained by the blood of Jesus, and it was the Holy Spirit who made you overseers. It was the Holy Spirit who made you elders in whatever church that you serve. That in itself is extraordinary. Sometimes as Presbyterians, we believe, of course, that the decision is ours. The minister gets up for 6 weeks, he preaches about the eldership, an election is held, and you get two or three or four or five or however many it is. And we think it's all about the democratic system of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And yet the Apostle Paul says, by no means, it is a work of the Holy Spirit that has seen you to the position that you are today. If you are weak and weary in that position, if you are someone who feels that your time is done as an elder, maybe you despair at the state of your church, the spiritual life doesn't seem to be as vibrant as it used to be, One of the first things that I want to tell you this morning is that you have an extraordinary calling in your life, and the Holy Spirit has been much at work, and He is the one who has brought you to this place. It is a privilege to meet some of you and to talk to some of you. And one of the constant refrains that comes from any time that I've talked to elders in our district and our presbytery is that I don't really know how to do this. I know my weaknesses. I know my limits. I don't often know what to say. I don't think I'm a very good elder. I'm not great in pastoral situations. I'm not really able to explain baptism very well. I feel very weak. And brothers and sisters, of course, that is how often we feel in every walk of life, and not least into this extraordinary calling as elders in the Church of Jesus Christ. But my friends, if it is the Word and the Spirit that brought us to saving faith in Jesus, and if it is the Word and the Holy Spirit that keeps us on the path and equips us and enthuses us and delights us every Sunday as we hear it read and preached, then it is the Holy Spirit of God who will keep us as elders in the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is the Holy Spirit who will make us effective in our work. We have an extraordinary calling as elders in the Presbytery of Down. It is a calling directly from God, and it is a calling that is Spirit-made. Brothers and sisters, the calling is extraordinary by its nature, and it is extraordinary for the fact of what we are called to do. The apostle is abundantly clear. We are to pay close attention to ourselves and to the flock. We are overseers of the bride, of the Church of Jesus Christ. And sometimes eldership falls into disrepute. But that very statement there, that one simple little verse as part of this bigger address of the apostle, sums up the seriousness of our task. Sometimes we see eldership as something that we fit in when we're not doing better things. Sometimes we know of elders who would rather go to the lodge meeting down the street than the session meeting up the street. Sometimes we have elders who take their job and their role so unseriously that they almost play games with it. Maybe we don't see too much of them in the pew on a Sunday. Maybe everybody knows that John isn't really a Christian, but he's an elder anyway, and we just have to put up with it. Brothers and sisters, the job that we have been given is a serious one. For it is a job that is calling us to oversee the Church of Christ, which He obtained with His own blood. I want you to consider that, especially tomorrow morning, when you wake up, and hopefully it's another day like this, and you're on your way to see boys like me, standing up in places like that, and maybe you're fed up with boys like me. Maybe you're sick listening to Woodburn or whoever it is, and maybe there's a wee part of you tomorrow that thinks, you know, I'm just going to go to Newcastle. Or do you know, I've heard of that other church down the road, and I might just go there and see what's going on. Brothers and sisters, if you are at that point in your walk, then I want to just gently challenge you with this verse. The Holy Spirit has called you and made you an elder, made you an overseer. An overseer of the Church of Christ, which He obtained with His own blood. This is just a building, of course. We get worked up over our buildings. But what happens here tomorrow morning is the same as what will happen in your own fellowships all across this district. The Church of Jesus Christ will gather, and you and I have been called to minister to that church and to shepherd it and to watch over it and to guard it against those who would seek to destroy it. And it is so wonderfully precious because the Church of Jesus Christ was bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. I don't know if you consider that very much. In Northern Ireland, we're good at talking about being saved. It freely comes from our mouths. It's a wonderful thing to say, a wonderful thing to be saved, but it comes so easily to us. I'm born again, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. But how are we saved? By the blood of the Lamb. How is it that we are men and women of faith? How is it that we have any right to call ourselves elders by the blood of the Lamb, called to a work of oversight, spiritual leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ? And brothers and sisters, that is an incredibly serious and privileged and extraordinary business indeed. Sometimes I make the point to my own fellowship that what we do here in a Sunday morning is not just church. Have you ever talked like that? You get to work on a Monday morning and somebody says to you, what'd you get up to over the weekend? And if you even bother to mention that you went to church, you might mention it almost apologetically. Just a church, you know. Just a church. When I hear that, I get all worked up. Because what we do here on a Sunday morning is, it's not just church. You know, as if we're going out for ice cream. I just went for ice cream, and I just went to church. Brothers and sisters, this is the blood-bought bride of Christ. The bride that cost him his life at Calvary's cross. And you and I have been called as elders, as part of that bride. That's extraordinary. It really is. And if we speak of the church in that manner, then may the Lord rebuke us. And if we speak of the eldership in that manner, may the Lord rebuke us. Today isn't Woodburn pointing the finger at all of you, because Woodburn's as bad as any of you. When I was a younger man, a younger Presbyterian minister, a younger elder, I perhaps did not see the blessing and the value of things like presbytery, a gathering of elders, things like general assembly. I remember I used to watch the assembly on live stream in a coffee shop somewhere. And when it used to wind me up, I would just turn it off. And I would say things like, what's the point in all that nonsense? The Lord rebuked me. And I hope I'm not like that anymore. I have missed presbytery twice in 17 years. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that you see the blessing of these groups that we are part of, these structures that we have, and the calling that has been put in front of us as elders. We're not just elders. Like we're just the secretary of the Women's Institute. We're not just elders. Like we do our shopping in Libbles. We are elders. Elders made by the Spirit of God to pay careful attention to the flock that God has placed us over in the Lord. The flock that he bought and paid for by his own precious blood. And so we are to give attention to that flock. Tomorrow morning you have an opportunity to do that. Before you go out into your districts, before you rap on anybody's door, tomorrow morning the church will gather in Spa, Kilmore, Eden Grove, First St. Faith, Downpatrick, wherever you're from. The church will gather, and brothers and sisters, you have a calling there to be in and among the people of God. Maybe some tomorrow morning will rejoice with you and laugh with you as you celebrate good news. Maybe others will need your gentle hand upon their shoulder. Maybe some will need your voice to say, this needs to stop. Maybe others just need to know that you're there, that you see them, that you care for them, that you're praying for them. That's our role. That's our extraordinary calling. And that's the challenge that the Lord has placed in front of us. But if we are to give careful attention to the flock, then we'd also be wise to remember that the apostle here says in Acts 20 and 28 that we are also to give careful attention to ourselves. And I think one of the most important aspects of our work as elders is to not lose sight of that fact. That when we go into a home, we don't necessarily have to go in with all the answers. We don't have to go in able to fix all the problems in a simple 5 to 10 minute visit. But brothers and sisters, if we are not walking with the Lord ourselves, then I would suggest we'd better probably just stay at home then and not knock on anybody's door. It was McShane, a Presbyterian of another age, who used to pray regularly that the Lord would make him as pardoned as a holy, the Lord would make him as holy as a pardoned sinner could be. I find myself praying that more and more as I grow more and more aware of my weakness and my sin. I find myself calling upon the Lord and asking him, Father, grow me up in the faith. If I have to stand and preach on a Sunday morning, then make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. If I have to go in and sit with someone at a bedside as the hours are slipping away until that moment that they are called away, then make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. Lord, if I'm representing you as an elder down the street in this town, evangelizing, speaking to someone in B&M, then make me as holy as a pardoned sinner can be. And brothers and sisters, today I will not talk to you about reconfiguration. I'm not going to say about doing this or that or the other thing to meet the challenges of this day and age that we find ourselves in as a denomination. But here is my absolute contention when it comes to our denomination. Regardless of where we are going down the road, whatever we look like in 10 years or 20 years, in the here and now, in the presbytery of Down, the Lord has called us to the eldership of his church. And imagine what our difficulties in Down would be like. Imagine what our fellowships would be like. Imagine what our communities would be like. If you and I were as committed to our own growth and our own sanctification, and our own holiness, our own walk before the Lord. I'm a simple man. I think the wife would disagree. But I am simple and getting more simple. And we'll hear a wee bit more about that in session 2. But sometimes I think we overcomplicate all of this. We think that we have to keep up with the church down the street. Where are young adults going? They're going to the Vineyard in Lisburn. And we think we'll have to out Vineyard to Vineyard. I'm not sure about any of that. I think if our fellowships were places that delighted in the ordinary things of God, overseen by elders who had a passion for their own personal holiness, and did that spiritual work among their fellowships. And brothers and sisters, what a denomination we would be. Paul urges us to pay careful attention to ourselves and to the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made us elders, overseers. And we are to care for the church which Jesus obtained with his own blood. This is an extraordinary calling, of course, and it is an entirely serious calling. Later in the book of Hebrews, and you'll be well aware of this, I'm sure, as an elder. But there in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, the apostle would urge the church to obey their leaders and submit to them. Why? For we are keeping watch over the souls of the people in our churches as those who will have to give an account. I don't know if you think about those words. I find myself in them more and more as the years tick on. I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect elder, perfect minister. By no means. But in whatever other rules I have in my life, I don't think any compare to that one. to be a man who is called by God to oversee the wee flock that meets here in Eden Grove. And one day I will stand before the chief shepherd and I will give an account for my work. Brothers and sisters, I do not share that this morning to make you afraid or to cause you to weep or to go straight home and write the letter of resignation. Instead, I simply begin this day by reminding you of the extraordinary calling that the Lord has placed upon our lives. We are elders. We are overseers of the flock of God. And what an extraordinary calling that is. Friends, we're going to spend a few moments praying together. That's why I didn't want you to go here, there, and everywhere in our meeting house. The way we tend to do it on a presbytery evening is just we turn around. And can I ask you to do that? We'll pray for about 5 or 10 minutes together. Pray for one another in our work. Pray for our own walk, our own holiness. Pray for our fellowships, our flocks, and the challenges that are there. But let's turn around to one another as elders in the Church of Jesus Christ, and let us call upon the Lord who has called us to this extraordinary work. Let's pray.